What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Black Expat Podcast. My name is Carl, and I'm excited to be rocking with you guys for yet another episode. This episode of the Black Expat Podcast is dedicated to my grandfather who recently passed away, Lucius Hill. May you rest in heaven, Grandpa. And my cousin, Dwayne Hill, who also passed away from COVID-19 after a very long battle over these past 2 months. This is dedicated to you two. You guys inspired me in so many different ways. Thank you for always being there for me, supporting me. I love you guys. So, as you guys know, it's a trying time all over the world, specifically in America, in the Black community. It's been a lot, right? So I plan to have all these great podcasts to show you guys. I had all these lists of things I wanted to touch on while the coronavirus was happening. And then, boom, George Floyd, boom, protest, boom, whatever the president said, boom, organizing, rallies, marches, all these great things that have come from the terrible acts that have happened over the past few months. The past few weeks in America as it relates to police brutality towards Black people in America. So I'm going to talk about things from an expat perspective, how I've personally been experiencing these things, and also how other people I've talked to, I don't want to speak for them, but kind of summarize the feelings and emotions that we've had and the support systems that we've had to create to kind of deal with this. One of the things that, you know, oftentimes, and I write about this, is even though we're not physically in America, we're not far from removed from the experiences, the pain, the emotions that come from what we witness online, what others witness online in America, but what people are experiencing daily. Like, I tell people, when I will go back to America, I was driving my mom's car and I got pulled over by the police just 2 years ago. And of course, it's my mom's car. She was sick. It's registered in her name. But I was afraid for my life because I'm like, oh, nothing's in my name. Luckily, me and my mother have the same last name. And he pulled me over, didn't say why, ran my license, all that. And he came back and said, oh, I only pulled you over because your lights were off. But the fear I experienced just from being pulled over, like my heart was skipping a beat. I couldn't even move to pick up the phone to make a phone call. Like that fear is real. I know oftentimes when I've podcasted before, I've always talked about reasons why Black expats should get out and see the world and go to different places. And I never really went in depth about, you know, those experiences, right? Because, you know, part of me wanted to highlight the good parts of it and encourage people to get out. But there also is a lot of realism in the feelings that we have and experience as Black people in America. I'm sure, as we all know, as Black people and non-Blacks, it's hard to be American Black. And that's not what I said. It's hard to be Black and in America. It's hard to be an American and be Black. It's tough. It's difficult. So when, as an expat, when I see the images and online when they first popped up, like, man, I'm at, like, I wake up in the morning, I get dressed, and that's, I'm on Twitter, is all I see is that. Like, my mindset completely shifts walking into work that day. And then as the week goes, and then that evening when I go home back to my bar, why? Everyone I see, none of them looks like me. Outside of my roommate, Patrick, and Erica, who works with me, there's no one, like, other than them, there's really no kind of support system that in my immediate experience, right? When I go to work, there is no support system. Like, there is no one I'm walking in talking about it. And in times like that, you need to talk about it, whether it's in a positive or negative light, or even if you're just venting, you need that avenue to talk about it. So I'm expected to walk into a class and be normal, to manage a group of people where only one of them can directly relate to what I'm experiencing, but not have the time built in to kind of process those things. And a lot of us, even in America, maybe have similar experiences. We work in an all-white office. Our leadership doesn't point these things out. And I was disappointed in my leadership because after all this time has passed, even if you don't reach out to your Black teachers, reach out to all the American teachers. Say, hey, we see what's going on. Because if my junior high school students see what's going on and they're saying, hey, Teacher Carl, can you tell me about this? Or, hey, what America doing is bad. And my high school kids are like, man, what's going on is tough. Can you walk us through what's going on? I know the adults are seeing this too. And I'm not trying to say it's their responsibility to do that, but I feel like it is an obligation to just want to support your team. But that's kind of getting off subject. That kind of just made me mad. But Yes, I mean, waking up and walking through and having to find times to kind of process these things, it's a lot. It's a lot, one, because, you know, even Pal Patrick and Eric are here, and there are Black people on the island. We're not all living in the same area. Like, it's not super easy to kind of link up. So when these things happen, well, boom, yes, we want to get together, talk through it, process things, stay mentally healthy. It's difficult because your day is so jam-packed, right? For me, this is the busiest time of the year for me. This is because being in management, it's the end of the school year, preparing for the next school year. We're signing contracts. We're doing interviews. Like, my day from 8 until the bar closes sometimes at 12, 1 or 2, it's jam-packed. And it's hard to find those pockets of mental space to want to talk and address these things. Right. And then when you do, it's like, man, you want to have a beer with it. Then you're drinking. Then, man, I got to get up. I got to get ready to open the bar. I got to take a shower. I got to eat. Like, it's hard to stay mentally healthy. And what I'm experiencing is nothing compared to what people are experiencing back home in America. But I do want to shed light on that perspective, just in case. Well, I know other Black expats are also going through this. So it's not just the images. It's not just the feelings. It's not just the work. It's the family aspect of it, too. Like, it just happened for me, honestly, speaking honestly to you guys, at a tough time. Like, my grandfather had just died. My cousin, who'd been battling COVID for 6 months, had just passed away. Another cousin of mine on my dad's side passed away. Making sure my family was safe from COVID, the mask I sent them not getting there on time, and they still don't have it. And seeing these riots and rallies and family members hitting me up and saying, man, you know, I can't get my medicine, and knowing that some family members depend on that medicine daily, and being so far removed from that, like, literally helpless. Now, it's one, like, feeling we can't do anything. We can organize and protest, which I'll get to what we're doing here on the island, but we physically can't be around the people that mean the most to us and need our support and our love, and we need their support and their love and want to be in those spaces now. Like, we have... The reason why we created the bar was to create this pocket of space for people, in not just situations like these, but in any situation, to come and say, hey, Black-owned bar, Black music, Black people, let's talk about it. And we're making strides towards that. But, man, seeing what's going on with and not being able to connect with your family and worrying so much about that and still having to carry on and live your life every day as if everything's normal, because no one here or very few people here, one, can relate; two, understand; three, seem to care; or four, are reaching out to, you know, to support you. I mean, it's tough. It's a lot. And honestly, the feelings I've seen and experienced from others is it makes people angry. And you have every right to be angry, but I feel like I'm even more angry because I can't be boots on the ground. I can't physically be there. It is my fight. It is our fight. I'm obligated, dutified to be a part of that. And that's the initial reaction, because we're not physically there. Now, to say that I would be out protesting, I would. some expats I've talked to, not Black, have been like, yeah, I probably would. My mother probably wouldn't want me to go out to the looting part, but I'd definitely be a part of the peaceful process and the marches. But I'm like, nah, man, I'd be everywhere. I'm not saying I'd be looting or destroying property or anything like that, but I'd be all over looking out for my people, being a part of any movement that's promoting progress. I'm out there. You know what I mean? Like, that's me. So all those feelings and emotions kind of rush up, because when you see, this is just one city or one place. Like, it's everywhere around the country. Like, it's as a person, like, man, I wish I could be a part of this. I want to be a part of this. I don't want to be a keyboard warrior. I want to be out there, because then people can call me out. Like, man, you're in Taiwan. First, you ain't even out here. You don't know what we're going through. Let me stop you right there. I've been Black all my life, lived in America all my life. Plenty of racist moments, experiences to pull from. Like, it's been a part of my upbringing. It's been a part of my life. I'm not far removed from that at all. I don't live on that side of the country anymore. As frequently as I do, but I am American. I'm a part of that. But, man, like, that anger rises up. And then after the anger settles, it's the fear. Because, right, we're angry, we're out, we're doing things, we're speaking up. But then it's the fear. Because you see the government, the military getting involved. You see them shooting people with rubber bullets. Like, you've been shot with a paintball? I've been shot with both a rubber bullet and a paintball. They both hurt. Like, excruciating pain, especially in the face. Patrick actually shot me in the face with a BB. I'm still gonna punch him in the face for that. Remind me to do that later. But, I mean, and you see these things, it's like fear, because it's like, man, there we're doing things peacefully, we're trying to raise attention to it, and their initial response isn't, we hear you, we feel you, we want to work with you, which would, I feel, trigger a different response from protesters, even looters, different response, which we know some of those people are white, looting in our communities, effed up in a lot of ways. But it would trigger different responses, like, no, we're going to shoot y'all. What? No, what happened was wrong, we're going to investigate. None of that. That came after the fact, when that should have been the first thing that was done. Right? So, but then it's that fear, because we're seeing, like, oh man, this is going on. How is America going to respond? If we have better leadership, I'd be more confident, like, oh, okay, they're going to pull the communities together, they're going to get out. Nope, they hide, they run, they militarize. That's scary. It's super scary, because we're not there and we don't know what will happen in our communities, to our families, to our friends, and we're so far away. And what adds to that fear is the state of the world with COVID-19. It's so difficult to get back home. I would have to get on a plane, go up to America. I would have to quarantine for 15 days, not because America makes me. I don't know what the process is. I think it's a few days, but because I wouldn't want to risk infecting my family during a time where I don't know if they'd be able to get access to health care. Then I'd be there for an extended period of time, probably couldn't find a job, need money, have to come back to Taiwan, quarantine for 15 more days before I even am allowed to teach, and then be monitored during that time and lose 2 months of pay. And again, that's a small sacrifice for everyone else who's out here, for all the sacrificing their lives, their livelihood. That's a small sacrifice. But it's also a reality. It's like, man, even if I wanted to get back immediately, I couldn't. And there's so many other variables I have to consider. Whereas if COVID-19 wasn't going on, there'd be nothing to consider. Next plane, I'm out. Right? I'm where I need to be. I'm where I should be, doing what I can do. But if my institution that I work for on this island can't understand that, they can kiss my ass. I need you to be supporting this. And I mean, it's just so many feelings and emotions that it's really, really hard to put in words. And then the images, it's like, even if I want to teach it to my students, do I want to show these images? Right? Because, I mean, they're graphic. I teach young kids. I mean, it's graphic. I can show some of the leading up to it. But also, man, it's traumatizing. I myself don't want to repeatedly look at them. But then it goes back to the expat question, like, how do we educate? We have to show to educate. But what I realize has been most important through everything that's been going on, I'm going to jump around a little bit to dealing with death as an expat during COVID-19. That was difficult. Because I want to be at the funeral. I want to be there to console my mom and my family. But I can't do that. And even before COVID, it's difficult to get back because of the way everything's set up on this side. But dealing with that as an expat, two deaths in the same week, and physically not being able to make it home in time, and even being able, again, everything I just said before, like, it's beyond difficult. Going to the gym and working out was before, up until that point, because, you know, with COVID, the bar was struggling, finances, et cetera, et cetera. So I've been fundraising. Again, thank you to everybody who supported, who's given anything. Thank you for the dollar, Marlon sent, and everyone else who, I don't want to mention their names, but you know who you are. Thank you so very much. And people who are donating are people who are on the front lines battling COVID-19. Again, that's like heroes, superheroes, heroines, and all the people that have been doing that, donated money or not, I've definitely highlighted in my class. I have a class of 7 women students, and I always highlight a woman a week. For 1 month, I did different women, and I found myself doing twice in 1 month, one I went to high school with that works in the medical field. Because one part was, you know, the intelligence, being in the medical field, you know, being one of the front lines. The other part was physical health. She touches on both these things. An amazing woman, like, just absolutely amazing in so many ways. But I had to make sure I found pockets of time to deal with my mental health. And I've been, you know, it's been the big thing I've talked about for the Black expat community and many of my podcasts, is dealing with mental health. So I've been hit with the death in the family part of dealing with my mental health and processing that, and then also trying to process what's going on with Black people back in America with the protests and the riots. And I'll be honest with you guys, I have not fully processed it. I've been trying to feel those emotions and those feelings and confronting it with being busy. The fact is, I am really busy. Like, I have a lot of things to do, and I'm worried about money and all these things, and I haven't had time to really take a step back and process it. Like, I just haven't, because when it happened, it was like, boom, I had to go to work, boom, I had to do this, boom, I had a responsibility here, responsibility there. Like, I never take days off from the bar. I took a full day off from the bar. But as you guys know, like, with death and being far away, it's not enough. And I'm honestly talking myself through it in this very moment. It's like, man, how can I continue to deal with this? And one of the things that we're doing as Black expats and many of the wonderful organizers, Black people on this island, we do have a Facebook group called Brothers and Sisters of Taiwan. It was started a long time ago by a young woman. It's been carried on by a close friend of mine, and Patrick's cousin, Stephanie, who's kept it going. But we on this end have been thinking about, okay, this is what's going on back home. We all have these feelings of we want to be more involved. We're scared. We're worried. We don't have this space to talk and process these feelings. At work, people asking me dumbass questions I'm not trying to hear, asking me to explain shit to them. That ain't my job. First of all, let me grieve, mourn, feel angry, sad, however I want to feel. And you do your research and come with me for support. Don't come with me when you see what's going on and how tragic it is. Ask me to teach you something. That's the last thing I want to do as an expat. But this is the reality of the things that we're experiencing and getting out here. Ain't nobody trying to hear that shit. If you ain't done your research and coming to me with ways in which you can be helpful or ways you want to support me or give me feedback, I don't want to hear nothing from you. Because that to me shows you don't get it. And you haven't even taken the time to educate yourself. And I think this takes me back to something that we've said, talked about, and I've always had different perspectives on it. Many Black expats have said, and have left the island of Taiwan, China, all over the world, it's not my duty to educate you on why your racism, your stereotypes, your hypocrisies, the way you view things are wrong about Black people. That is not my job. And in this moment, that statement, that phrase is so powerful and means so much, and I understand it so differently. I've always been on the side of people are ignorant. Yes, it's not your job to educate, but I mean, if they really don't know, for the next person behind you, you need to provide a little bit of knowledge. You don't have to go off all deep and get them links and write a book about it, but point them in the right direction. I still believe that. I still believe that we can point people in the right direction. But there also is levels to this ignorance. Death, uncalled for death, is not something to a Black person by a white police officer. That is not something I have to explain to you. That is not a teaching moment for me. To me, that's common sense. So that phrase that I've heard from so many people, and I always wanted to really fully understand it. I fully understand it now. I get it. It makes sense. Not that it didn't before, but I understand it differently now. And I agree, it is up to people in the world to acknowledge your ignorance and then educate yourself on it. That is not our job. But we have amazing people on the island, Black people from all over, that are organizing ways and spaces in which to be a part of the movement globally, because it is a global movement. There are Black people everywhere, all right? The focus right now is America. Don't get it twisted, don't get it wrong. And what we're trying to accomplish there, that's where it started. George Floyd, say his name, and all the other men and Black women who have been recently and even a long time ago unjustly killed. The woman in the military that was unjustly killed and ruled a suicide. Other women whose house were broken into and shot because they thought she was someone else. All these people is what we're mobilizing for. So the first thing, of course, that we're going to do with the Haven, with Arts and Crafts, a bar that we created, is create that space. So this weekend we're creating that space for people of color, Black people, people of color, and advocates to come together and have these discussions. And honestly, the first thing I think about is for Black men and women to come together and exhale. Like, again, yes, we can talk about it and dive into it, but if doing that is traumatic for them in the space in that moment, we're going to deviate from it. We deserve happy moments. Yes, we're going to fight. Yes, we're going to protest. Yes, we're going to contribute, donate dollars, whatever we can. But in these moments, we still deserve, not only say happy moments, moments of peace. And as expats, we get very little of that. and to stay mentally healthy, to be a, and physically healthy, to be able to go and fight the good fight, we need to also have these pockets of peace where we can be at ease, or we can be some remnants of happiness and peace before we go out and do this fight again. Same thing for back at home. Make sure you got your peace protected. And so that way you're adequately prepared for the stress, for the pain, for the energy it takes to be active, to go out there and make a difference. To go out there and protest all day. Make sure you get your ward on, like everything. Make sure you tight. You got yourself together. And you got your support system and you're supporting others, because that's what it's going to take for us to get through this. So, of course, at our place, we're having that this weekend. And again, just amazed at the support we've got just from everyone donating money. So, hey, we want to make the space you guys thought about. We know y'all are struggling. So people have donated $100-$200 to free drinks that night, just for everybody that wants to show up. But it's for the cause. Black people, you don't have to worry about paying money. Like, donors and sponsors have reached out and said, hey, we want to give you guys this. This is because we understand, man, your community is small here, but you're affected by it. Like, I was shocked, taken aback, but grateful, like privileged, honored to be able to, you know, to be able to do this for others and for myself and for Patrick and for Eric and for everyone that I know that's black that's going through things, because we are struggling. Like, I'm speaking from the black SBAC perspective. I'm not by any means not acknowledging everything that's going on. Like, I want to make sure I continuously say that it's much harder back at home. But I do want to talk to the expats and the black expats that are going through it. And what we're also organizing is a peaceful protest, a peaceful rally that's going on in the biggest city in Taiwan, where, again, black leaders in our community have organized and coordinated it. We have T-shirts going out, and we're going to, have a march and a rally just to pay tribute and homage and to recognize George Floyd and all people who have died for police brutality, but also all the movements that are going on back home. We want people to know that we're moving out here too. We may not be able to physically get to you guys, but we can put our money where our mouth is. We can have movements out here to show that, hey, we're unified. This is everyone's fight. Black people, white people, people of color, it's everyone's fight for justice, for human equality. And I'm just so thankful to have the support system that I have out here as a black expat. And I'm so thankful to see the support that's been pouring in and the recognition, of, hey, we need to, just as black people, we need to get something going. And if nobody's going to do it, whoever wants to do it, we're going to take everything and put on our backs and get something done. And it's hard, man. It's hard coordinating and get people together and finding the right words to unite people on the cause and finding a leader, a spokesperson, all that. Like, it's hard to do that. And for myself and Patrick, we're spreading ourselves between Taipei, where there are more black people, and Taichung, which is our current home base. We don't want to, X them out, because everybody doesn't have the privilege to being able to just going to Taipei. We have obligations on the weekends. They can't join the rally. So it's our obligation as a black-owned establishment to create that space. And that's what we're working to do. But, it's just so many feelings and emotions. Like, it's a lot to process right now. And I've been trying my best. Usually, I have a notepad here and I write down all my notes of things I want to touch on and things I want to say. But it was hard to put, like, my own personal feelings and emotions into words. I mean, because it's painful. I'm sure no one black has slept well the past few weeks, past few days. It's hard to get up and come to work and manage, because you have to be happy, you have to be active, you have to be engaging. It's hard to get up and come in this classroom and teach kids. It's hard to brainstorm about ideas of creative activities I can do in class when my mind is 100,000% with the men and women on the ground back at home every day. My mind is 110% on, is my mom doing okay with her dad passing away? Is my little sister doing okay driving back and forth from Chicago to Atlanta and getting through with things? Is my older sister and younger sister, are they okay with their families not being able to get medicine? Is, with the deaths that happened, is my extended family okay? with process and everything. How are they viewing me? Do I post things on Facebook? Let them know that I'm thinking about it. I don't want to overpost. Do I reach out to everybody? How can I reach out to everybody? What do I say? I'm not physically there. How are they going to react to hearing me say certain things? I can't post photos. I post photos of me at work or doing anything that looks normal. Do I get backlash from it? I mean, and this is only for my family. I mean, that's a lot to think about. And then after you process all that as a Black expat, another important question is, am I okay? Am I okay? And again, don't want to not say what's going on back home is way, way bigger. I want to continuously point that out. But also, am I okay? Like, am I physically, with deaths and with everything that's going back, physically and mentally okay? And am I doing as much as I can to contribute and be a part of the movement and be vocal and stand out and try to be as impactful as possible? Am I doing enough? Right? And I mean, and as a Black expat, it's hard, man. Like, it's difficult. Like, it's difficult. It's hard. It's painful. And just for every Black expat out there, an expat that's going through these things, have those conversations. Find those pockets of peace that you need to. Find friends, confidants. Don't be afraid to call back home and talk to your family about how you're feeling. Like, you can't hold these things in. Right? Again, we know what's going on. It's hurtful, it's big, it's enormous, it's death, it's everything. But make sure you find you take care of yourself. Have those conversations, challenge people, find advocates, you know, not necessarily go out and look for them, but like know who the advocates are, and have these conversations, because they are of the utmost importance. The one thing that, you know, historically, but people think Black people do is we don't like to talk about stuff. We like to hold things in. You know, we don't like to know and ask for help. We don't like to telling our friends, like, man, how are you doing? I'm not doing okay. I'm not. I mean, I can only imagine how you're doing at the home, on the home front. But I know you're not doing okay. What can I do for you? In that same breath, being like, man, I'm also not doing okay. I'm struggling with this. I don't know what to do. I want to be involved. I want to get active. And it's that acknowledgement that leads to positive, proactive, great things that we can do and we can start doing in this community here and in the community back at home. So, I mean, it's a lot. For me, processing the deaths of family members and then the violent deaths, police brutality that we've seen, and just the organization of all these movements has been trying. But what I just hope for everyone, Black expats, is, again, find those pockets of peace, do what you can to be involved. You know, and man, we're here for each other. We're strong together, and there's nothing that we can't accomplish and won't accomplish moving forward. So I'm really hopeful. Shout out to Barack Obama. Super, super hopeful. But as always, thank you guys for tuning in. I'll be updating you guys with another podcast describing, but talking about the things that are going on in these upcoming weeks with our peace talk at the bar that we're having, our haven that we're creating for Black people at the bar to just come out and be around all Black people and have these conversations and talk and reach out for the peaceful protest rally that we're having next Saturday. When I say we, I mean all the, I wasn't any part of coordinating the Saturday event. I gave feedback to Patrick, but it was Patrick and Stephanie and Erica and KG and Toy. Those people were the ones that are coordinated the peaceful march and protest rally Saturday, June 13th in Taipei, for those of my Taipei expats that are listening. And then for us, Juneteenth, y'all know we had to do. We had to bring it for the bar. Juneteenth weekend. The messed up thing is that's a 6-day work week for us. We got to work on Saturday. So in Taiwan, the following week, we got a 4-day weekend. So we get Thursday and Friday off because the holiday falls on a Thursday, and they want to give people a Thursday off and have to work on Friday. So the government says, okay, take the Friday, but you got to make it up on a Saturday. That's how Taiwan works. Don't ask me why. I think it's stupid too. So the 19th, the 20th is when everybody got to go to work again. So originally we planned to have this big Juneteenth weekend, but now realistically, just how Taiwan works, Because we're in Taichung, we're not in Taipei. Everybody won't be able to make it down because they have to go back to work and you have to pay all that money, be on the bus for 2-3 hours. It's just a lot. So we're having a Juneteenth celebration Saturday, which will be Juneteenth in America. And we're having a black ass barbecue, black people on the grill only. I'm wearing my sandals. I ain't putting on no lotion. Like I'm granddad uncling it out. I'm gonna have a black ass celebration, black music, black images, black food, black people. And I cannot stress enough how blessed and honored I am to have a black space out here for black expats, black people to come, especially during times like these, and highlighting it and letting everybody on the island know how black culture is the shit, for lack of a better word and way of saying it. So, as always, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for showing up and showing out, black people all over the world. Man, Black Lives Matter.